I want to talk to you today about how God communicates. Amen. So many Christians are in confusion, and it's actually a chapter in my book here. Let me get this out of the way real quick. I have some books out on a table. I wrote this book last year, and it's called High Adventure Faith, Going into All the World. It has my testimony in detail. I'm not going to give that this morning. Very briefly, I was born on a circus. I've had a crazy life. I had elephants and bears and tigers for pets when I was growing up. I was a clown at one time. Yes, I knew somebody would ask that. My father is in the Circus Hall of Fame in Baraboo, Wisconsin. He ran away from home at the age of 15 and joined the circus in 1916. So he was an old guy. He was born in 1901. And joined the circus and worked in the circus until the day he died. Loved it. Never talked about his family. I don't know anything about my dad's family. He just ran away and I never heard about him. But anyway, so I had a crazy life growing up and got in trouble. I used to be a hippie. I know that's hard to believe today, but I was a long-haired freaky boy. I had long blonde hair and braided beads and bells in my hair, little leather twisty ties. And I had a top hat with stars and stripes. Pair of blue jeans that never got washed, you know. When they got a hole in them, I put a peace sign on them or some kind of lewd patch on them, you know. The crotch wore out. I put a big peace sign on the crotch. Finally, the butt wore out of them, and I took one of them ruffled toilet seat covers and sewed on the back. That was the back of my pants. My dad tried to buy them from me. My dad was raised up during the Depression days, you know, and used to carry a big wad of money in his pocket. He didn't trust banks. Didn't never put money in a bank. But he always had a big wad of money in his pocket. And he would look at my jeans one day and, things are disgusting. Peel off a bunch of money. Here, go get you some more jeans. Well, I'd take him, go buy some more dope, go party a little bit, and never did get any more jeans. I just kept wearing the same ones, but he paid for them about 19 times. And I thought that was awesome. I had a guy in New York try to buy my hair one time. Wanted to buy my hair for a wig company. I had beautiful blonde hair. But anyway, that's the old days. Praise God. B.C., before Christ. Amen? But that testimony is in detail in my book, but there's a lot of other good stuff in here. As I said, the chapter on how does God communicate. I originally had that down as how to hear God's voice. But if you study the Word of God, they use the word voice in the Bible many times, but God doesn't speak to our ears. You see, that's the confusing part with people. When we're born again, God doesn't speak to our ears. He speaks to our spirit. And how does he speak? Does he speak with words? Well, yeah, but also pictures, thoughts, ideas, unctions, motivations, so many different ways. And that's why I say, how does God communicate? He communicates differently than we're used to. And now we need to retrain ourselves to hear God's voice. As the Bible says, we need to retrain ourselves. How do we know it's God speaking to us? There's a lot of voices today. You got your own conscience speaking to you. You got the devil speaking to you. You've got your past speaking to you. You've got your relatives who mean well, but are way off base speaking to you. Your neighbors, your friends, your people at church speaking to you. Who is right? Who is hearing from God? Well, you know what? You need to hear from God yourself. There's a huge, you know, most of you are aware of this. In the United States today, there's a huge prophetic movement on. And thank God for the ministry of the prophet. But I believe that you need to hear from God yourself. If you hear from the prophet, you're getting it secondhand. Now, prophecy is there today. The ministry of the prophet today is very different than the Old Testament. So you have to be careful how many Old Testament verses you use to validate what you're saying today. That's right. Because the ministry of the prophet today is a ministry mainly of confirmation. Yes. Amen. Confirmation. Something you already know. Something God's been dealing with you about. Something you read in the Word. Something God's been trying to get across to you. And you're not really sure it's God. You're not really sure you're hearing clearly. So God sends somebody. And if you're a hard head like I was, and still am sometimes, God will send 8 or 10 people to you sometimes. He'll send a television. And you know, God can speak to you through a TV commercial. That's right. He can speak to you through a billboard on the highway. I've had my prayers answered at least 12 times by billboards on the highway. What do you mean? Well, I'm driving down the road, and God's been dealing with me about something, but I couldn't exactly get what he was trying to say. And I read something on a billboard, and bing, it's like the piece of the puzzle that was missing.
That's right.
And it goes off in your spirit, and you go, wow, you know, that was so simple.
Right.
And that's another thing. When God is ministering to you, he realizes that we're just flesh. He realizes that we're just dumb dirt with eyeballs that he put together and made into a human being. And so he does things very simply. And if you're looking for something highly complicated, you're going to miss God. You'll miss him every time. So one more thing before I take off here. I've got a track out there. I didn't write this. A man actually in Ohio wrote this years ago. He's not putting these out anymore, so we started publishing them. We don't sell them. But it's under baptism in the Holy Spirit. If you have any questions at all about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, this answers them with lots of scriptures.
Amen.
Lots of scriptures. So any of your in-laws, outlaws, your Baptist buddies, if they need to know about baptism in the Holy Spirit, grab some of these out there. You're welcome to copy them. Or if you need more, we'll send you some. Just contact us. Also, we put out a newsletter every month. Who gets our newsletter in here? By mail or email? All right, a couple. The rest of you are missing God. All right, but we just put a short newsletter out encouraging people. We don't beg for money. Sometimes we do ask if we have a need. We'll let our needs be known, but not very often. And so there's two newsletters out there, last month's and this month, so take these. If you'd like to get this by mail or email, there's a list out there you can sign up on, okay? Please print. I sing in tongues, I pray in tongues, but I don't read in tongues, okay? So print your name and your address or your name and your email and put the city you're from, okay? If you put your email, put the city you're from. So that way, if we're back in this area doing some kind of meeting, we can notify you that we're going to be in your area, okay? All right, so let's move on here. All right, so let me grab my notes here real quick. Turn over here. All right. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23 and 24, if you have your Bible. Somebody's had, as a woman in here, that's had a ringing in your ears recently, on and off. And you had that this morning, but it's gone right now. Who is that? You had a kind of a ringing in your ears, buzzing in your ears. Check yourself out right now. If you've had that the last few days, it's come and gone. And you had it today, but now it's gone. That will never come back to you again. Never. I just saw it just disappear.
Amen.
Jeremiah 7, 23 and 24. But this is what I commanded them. This is old King Jimmy. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. And walk in the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and dictates of their evil hearts and went backwards and not forwards. Now listen, here's the simplicity. Obey my voice. Now that sounds easy, but as I said, there's a lot of voices coming to us today. Which one is the right one? All right. How do you get to know somebody? How do you get to know their voice? Spend time with them. Exactly. Somebody calls you on the phone one day and says, I'm Aunt Susan. I live in Philadelphia. I was your mother's second sister, and I haven't been in touch with the family for years, but I'm getting older now, and I want to get in touch with the family. So I'm going to be calling from time to time, and I'm going to work it out somehow where I can come and visit you. Okay? So 3 or 4 days later, she calls again. She has to identify herself. I'm Aunt Susan, blah, blah, blah. After she calls 4 or 5 times, does she have to identify herself to you? Why? You know her voice. Christians that don't know God's voice don't spend time with him. Bottom line. I'm not being ugly about it. I'm just telling you, if you want to know God's voice, why is it important? It's your whole life. It's your whole life. It could mean the difference between life and death. Do I go to the doctor? Do I believe God? Do I invest this money? Do I not invest this money? Do I buy that used car or do I not buy that used car? God will lead you and guide you by his Spirit, but you have to know his voice. You have to know how he communicates to you. He's giving you a bad witness about that car. You're looking at that car. It looks awesome. It has low miles. It sounds great. But, you know, has that thing been sunken in a creek for 3 weeks? You don't know. You have no idea. But you get this witness in your spirit. Something's not right about this car. But it's such a good deal. I can't pass it. But something's not right about this car. I don't know what it is. Get, run, turn away and run away from that person. Don't buy that car. We need to be led by our spirit. As many as are led by the spirit, they are the sons of God, daughters of God, children of God. As many as are led. I like to turn them verses around. As many as are not led by God's spirit, whose sons and daughters are they? Huh? And the Bible says sweet and sour should not come out of the same fountain. But sometimes we let that happen, don't we? We're like the waves of the sea, tossed to and fro, back and forth. You know, well, I'm with God. Well, but this sounds good. But I'm gonna back. Listen, always choose God. Always choose God. He said, obey my voice and I will be your God. If you don't obey his voice, he won't be your God. I'm talking about on a day-to-day situation, not a one-time I prayed and received Jesus thing. I'm talking about every day. Today, if you will hear his voice, the Bible says, harden not your hearts. Amen. Today, if you hear his voice. Today, if you hear his voice, do what he tells you to do. Amen. I don't care how dumb it sounds. If you got any questions about it, say, God, I need some chapter and verse on that. Give me some scripture. And he will. I don't know if you guys were familiar. Some years ago, this weird phenomenon started happening in the churches, and I questioned it. I was very skeptical. Gold dust was falling on people in services. I thought, what in the world is that all about? I mean, if it's enough to scoop up and put in a bank, yeah, I'm all for it, you know. But I thought, you know, that don't sound like God to me. So then I had some of my own friends, other minister friends, had it happen in their meetings. And I know they're not flakes. So I began to question it. So one day I just said, Lord, you got to give me chapter and verse on that. And immediately he gave me Job 23. You'll have to look it up for yourself. Homework for you. Job 23. But he said, I'll give you gold as dust, as the dust of Ophir, which is the most pure gold. I thought, okay, it's God. Why does God do things like that? We had a lady when we were in California. We were living in Riverside, California. We had a lady used to come to our church. The church we went to was about 2,000 people. And this Hispanic lady used to come with her husband. Her husband, I don't even know if he was saved. He was pretty weird. But she had an awesome gift. And every time she would touch somebody, oil would flow from her hands, just drip from her hands, anointing oil. And she, whoever she would lay hands on, oil would just begin to flow from them. They'd be covered with oil. She laid hands on a guy playing keyboard one day, and oil was just all over. He couldn't even play the keyboard. It was all greasy with oil. I mean, it was just what is that all about? The Bible says it's a sign and a wonder. What's a wonder? Wow. I wonder what that's all about. It's something that grabs your attention so that God can minister to you. It's something that says, that's weird. I don't understand it, but it seems right. It bears witness with your spirit. Again, remember, we're led by our spirit. We're not led by our flesh. We're not led by our stupid intellect. That's like pea brain sized dust. We're led by our spirit. Why? Because the spirit of God lives in us. And our spirit was born again. Our spirit is perfect. You can't improve on your spirit. It's your flesh and your intellect you have to deal with. And believe me, that's a full-time job. And if you're married, you got two full-time jobs. That's just the way it is. Okay, so he said, obey my voice and I'll be your God and you shall be my people and walk in the ways that I have commanded you. How has God commanded us to walk? Well, number one, in love. Amen. To everyone. Amen. Even those that hate you. Even those that you hate. Even those that you'd like to break their neck today. Even those that have molested you, even those that have stolen from you, even those that have cheated you in business deals, even the companies that have robbed you and messed you up, and people that have lied about you. I tell you, if you're in ministry, people lie about you all the time. They tell all kinds of trash. You got to love those people, and you've got to learn to forgive quickly. Be quick to repent. man, I repent. Even if I didn't do anything, I'll still repent. Why? Because I don't want there to be anything there stopping my prayers. I don't want there to be anything there that's going to hold up my blessing from coming. I don't want there to be anything there that's going to cloud my hearing so I can't hear from God. We used to sing this old song in church years ago. We are one in the Spirit, one in the Lord. You know, we need to be one with God. We need to be one with His will, with His love, with His compassion, with His passion for people. What does God want us to do today? When you wake up in the morning, you need to say, God, what do you want me to do today? Where are we going to go? Who are we going to talk to today? You just let me know. If somebody needs ministry, let me know. If you're available, God will use you. You may not be a prophet, but if there's no prophet available, God will use you to prophesy. You may not be a worker of miracles, but if there's nobody else available and you're available, God will use you.
That's right. Amen.
Well, I've never done that. Well, maybe it's time you started.
Amen.
You see, we're supposed to manifest God on this earth.
Yes.
People are supposed to see God in us and through us. And when we're walking in love, you can't argue with somebody that loves you.
Right. That's right.
We used to do street ministry in Tampa, Florida years ago. And we go out on the street about 9 o'clock at night. And the guy that was the head of our street ministry was an old biker guy. This big fat guy with the Harley suspenders, you know, and had a big chopper. And now he's saved. So what he would do is his method of ministering to people, we'd split up in groups of twos and threes. Some of us go down this side of the street, some down the other side. And we told these people that went out with us, you're here to just love people. You're not here to condemn anybody. Don't you ever say anything about somebody being drunk, some prostitute, some skanky dressed woman. Don't you say anything about anybody out here. If you can't love them, don't be out here. Just love them the way that God loves them. Look beyond that trash and see the real person. There's a person in there that God loves. And so this biker dude, he would drive up on the sidewalk next to a prostitute and he'd say, get on. She thought, well, I got me a trick here, you know. He'd put her on a bike, take her around the corner to a little diner and buy her a piece of sweet potato pie and tell her about Jesus. So that was his method of ministry. So one day, my wife and I were out there. We were walking down the street, and we saw him pull up on the sidewalk and got this prostitute got on the back, and this pimpmobile pulled up. I don't know any other way to put it, but it looked like something out of a 1970s, you know, Shaft movie or something. This funky-looking car pulled up, got a big coon tail on the antenna, you know, and this guy jumps out with his great big hat on. And he's got a silver chrome 38. He's waving that thing around. Man, I'm going to shoot you. Y'all mess with my girls. Y'all stealing my business. You know, and waving his gun around. So the guy on the bike, he just got off the bike. The girl's still sitting on it. Put the kickstand down. And he just walked over the guy. And the guy's got his 38. Man, I'm going to kill you. You're messing up my business. You know, he just walked through and shoved his big stomach right in the guy's gun. He said, well, go ahead. He said, you got a knife? If you cut me, every piece of me still got to love you. We're just telling these girls about Jesus and we love you too. The guy started shaking. He didn't know what to do. Dropped the gun on the sidewalk, got in his car, and drove away. We're all just standing there like, wow, that was awesome, you know. But there's no defense against love. If somebody keeps loving you and keeps loving you and keeps loving you, how are you going to, what are you going to fight about? What do you have to argue about? How you used to be? Well, I'm not that person anymore. That person's dead. They're buried. They're in the grave. Don't bring that junk up again. Talk about how I am today. All right. So walk in all the ways that I've commanded you. What other ways does God command us? Well, every day, if we're listening to Him, He's commanding us to do things. When the offering comes around, He's telling you how much to put in that offering. Why? Because like Sister said, it's seed. It's seed. How many of you know 3 weeks from now, if your son or daughter or somebody you know or your wife or husband is going to be in a bad automobile wreck and you're going to need lots of money to pay some bills? You don't know that. But if you'll bow your head and say, God, what do I put in the offering today? What kind of seed do I need to sow? He'll let you sow the amount of seed you need to meet that need 3 weeks from now that you don't even know about. See, this is the way the kingdom of God operates. I'm not taking another offering, so don't grab your wallet or your purse. This is the way the kingdom of God operates, by sowing seed.
Amen.
If you don't sow your seed, you can't get blessed.
That's right.
Well, I'm already blessed. Well, I'll tell you what, you better keep sowing seed if you want to stay blessed. Because
right.
What you have can disappear like smoke.
That's right.
So that it, walk in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not incline their ear, but followed the counsels and dictates of their evil hearts and went backwards and not forwards. When we don't listen to God, we lose ground. The Christian life is not a walk of faith, as we've been taught. It's an uphill climb. And when you're going uphill and you put it in neutral, what happens? You start going back again. So you can't be in neutral as a Christian. You've got to be proactive. You've got to be on it. You've got to be on point. You've got to be doing what God tells you to do today and tomorrow and every day. And the moment you miss a day, you're going backwards. You've lost ground. You can't lose ground. You've got to keep going forward. Amen. We need to grow up into Christ, the Bible says. So, obey. We need to obey God's voice for Him to be our God. If you don't obey God's voice, He's not He is not your God, and you're not His people. You have to obey all the ways of direction, literally and specifically. That's something that we have lost respect for God and His Word as Christians. Because we're used to people just saying things kind of haphazardly to us. Well, get a dozen eggs for the, you know, the breakfast tomorrow. And, you know, so you get a dozen eggs and they need two dozen. Well, if you'd be listening to the Spirit of God, He'd have told you two dozen. But we take things, we don't take what God says literally a lot of times. God says, I want you to give $1,000. And you said, well, I haven't had $1,000 in the last 6 months. Well, if He said, give $1,000, say, okay, all I have is 10 today, but I'll put that in. And then when you, as long as you bring the money in, I'll keep putting it in. My wife did that. She made it. We were at a meeting a couple of years ago, and the Lord told her to give $1,000. Well, we didn't. She didn't have $1,000, but she put in what she had, and she made up her mind she's going to pay the $1,000. And money began to come in from different areas she didn't expect. Just odd. One lady started sending her $100 a month, saying, I just want to bless you. I want to be a blessing to you. This is for your mad money, for your purse, to just do what you want with. You know, because any money that comes into our ministry goes right into the ministry. Unless it's specified for something else. So this one lady over in Galax started sending my wife $100 just for her. But we've got to be specific with God. When we pray, we have to be specific. When we hear, we have to be specific. When God speaks to you, it's specific. It's not general. If it sounds general to you, ask God for more points. Ask God to explain it to you in more detail so that you can act upon it and get it done right, okay? Because the Bible says our thoughts are not His thoughts. When He speaks to us sometimes, our mind's in a total different direction. We're out thinking about the barbecue next week and this and that and the other, and what can I do, and, you know, can I get off work, and all the stuff's going through our head, and God's trying to tell you about something that He wants you to do to minister to somebody. He's trying to tell you how you can be blessed this week. So we've got to listen. Okay, whatever Holy Spirit speaks to you will always be found in the Word of God. If you have any doubt, ask Him for Scripture, like I said. Remember, Jesus always said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the word will be established. Find two or three scriptures that back up what you're speaking, that back up what you're praying, that back up what you're prophesying. Why? Because that's how false doctrines and false religions have sprung up. They take a half of the scripture and a half of that scripture and try to marry them together, or take a half of the scripture and forget the rest of it, which says something totally different. But if you'll find two or three scriptures that say basically the same thing, you know that's the will of God. You know it's the will of God. So then you can go forth boldly. You don't have to worry whether your prayer is going to be answered or not. You know it will be answered. Why? Because it's the Word of God. What's so important about that? Well, the Word of God is the will of God. Amen. This is His last will and testament, right? Yeah, that's right? If it's His will and it's law, then it can't be broken. So when you agree with His will, when you agree with His law, and you speak what He speaks, it's going to happen. Amen. Praise God. Matthew 18:19 says, if two of us agree on any one thing is touching it, we'll have what we say. We'll have what we say. Not pray, say. You know, a lot of people get hung up on praying when literally it's your words that get the job done. Whether you're praying or saying, it's your words that bring life or death. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit of it, right? So what are you saying out of your mouth? Are you speaking blessings or cursings? Are you talking about how poor you are, how you don't have anything all the time, how Henry County's so poor, there's no jobs here, there's no opportunities here? If that's what's coming out of your mouth all the time, you need to buy a roll of duct tape. And just every time you talk like that, just slap a piece of tape on your mouth and say, shut up. Because you're speaking a curse over this county. You're speaking a curse over the jobs. You're speaking a curse over opportunities. You're speaking a curse over yourself. Talking about how little you have doesn't gain you what you need to have. What you need to speak is what the Word of God says. I have an abundance and no lack. God gives me everything that I need. He supplies all my needs according to His bank account. His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We need to start speaking what the Word of God says to change things. You don't like it. There's crime in our community. Opioid epidemic. I keep hearing this everywhere I go. It's the worst opioid epidemic in every city. Our city's saying the same thing. You can change that with your words. Begin to speak over your city. Begin to say that the drugs coming in is cut off. That the people bringing the drugs will have a heart attack and die. They won't be able to bring the drugs anymore. That the devil can go ahead and take them home. He's ready. He's ready for them anyway. Let them go ahead and take them home. If they don't get saved, tell them to take them home. Let's get on with it. I mean, you know, it's killing our community. And we have the opportunity and the authority and the power to break the back of the devil and to speak life to our community. John chapter 10, verse 1 through 3. Truly I say to you that he does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and the robber. But he who enters the door by the sheepfold is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And other sheep have I which are not of this fold. In other words, not Jews. Them I must also bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I know them, and they follow me. Again, that's not talking about when you gave your life to Jesus. It's talking about today. And tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. I'll tell you, our memory is so short sometimes, we've got to continue to do this every day, day by day by day. Why do you think God repeats himself over and over in the Word of God? He realizes that's the way we need to learn. In the education system, is that not the best way to teach? Repetition? I remember when I was a little boy in school, I had trouble with my times tables. But I had to go home and repeat them over and over and over and over, and I finally got it. God does the same thing to us. He realizes that we're just dust. My buddy Brother Bert used to say we're just a dirt cloud with eyeballs. You know, we're just made from the dust. You know, how special is a dirt cloud with eyeballs, you know? And we're one of billions. So how special is that? But to God, we're special. Amen?